Unlimited Digital Ramblings Podcast, brought to you by Click Through Marketing.
Welcome to the Assorted Digital Ramblings Podcast, a monthly hour-long listen on marketing-relevant subject matters to what's happening around the world right now, and expert opinions from our staff at Click Through Marketing. We're here to make marketing accessible to anyone. As always, I'm Chris, and I'm joined by my host, Liv. Liv, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Very, very good. How are you?
I'm very well. What's been going on in your life?
Oh, God, so much. You know me. Man, I was just about to say man of the world. Woman of the world. I went to the podcast show with Regan, our producer, which was absolutely amazing.
So you're expecting this to be the best one yet, because you're going to take all that learning and make the best podcast ever, yeah?
Exactly. So we got some tips from the podcast show, and one of them was get rid of that old host that you've got, like Chris, because he's crap.
No. is this why Jordan's on this week? He's just slowly usurping me. I think he'd probably be better, to be fair, so it's probably a good shout.
I agree. No. It was really, really good anyway. Really, really good. And then the only other exciting thing that I've done, he's gone camping. I met like a prolific football hooligan who was in prison, which was really fun.
What?
A prolific football hooligan.
Yeah, I got it. It's just slightly strange. Who's the prolific?
I know.
And where did you meet them?
We got to the campsite. It's in Llangollen in Wales, and I mean, I am a Wolves fan, but I'm not like a crazy Wolves fan that's like following them wherever they go. But anyway, we camped up next to these people, and they all were wearing Wolves shirts, and I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, do you support Wolves? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, are you from like the Black Country? And he was like, yeah, from Bilston. And I was like, okay, cool. Started talking to him, but it was one of these people that you just couldn't get rid of, and he just kept on coming over and being like, you heard about this. And I don't know that much, but Ellis wasn't there at this point because he was like travelling down like a little bit later on. So he was chatting to me. And then he was like, you know what I miss? And I was like, what? And he said something inappropriate about taking drugs. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I was like, so what home games have you been to recently? And he was like, oh, I haven't been to one in like 12 years. And I was like, call yourself a fan. What are you on about? And he was like, no, I was locked up for being a football hooligan. And I was like, okay, cool. And now he's banned from any home games. Hopefully he doesn't listen to this. I feel like I've got quite like a blacklist of people that shouldn't listen to this podcast because I just talk about them.
And now it's the football hooligan as well.
Yeah, exactly. Good old Craig. But yeah, Craig shouldn't listen to this, so sorry, Craig, if you are listening to it.
I feel like you probably attract weirdos in your life, to be honest with you.
I do.
You should be used to this.
I really do, but I love it so much. And then we played rounders and football with Craig, and it was really nice. Quite wholesome. And there was two fights on the campsite as well, but I'll talk about them probably at a later date, because I'm not been jumping on. What have you been up to, Chris?
The most exciting thing that happened to me, which also has an SEO-related theme to it, was I found a baby bird in the road, right? So I was like, okay, I'll pick this bird up because it's going to get run over. Tried to put it back in the bush, like it wouldn't jump off my hand. So I was like, right, I'll go back over the side of the road you were trying to get to, tried to put it on the wall, wouldn't jump off my hand. So I just took this bird for a walk with me and the dog, like just balanced, perched on my hand. I must look like a right weirdo, like just walking the dog with a baby bird, right? But so I was all up for having a pet baby bird, and I googled what do you feed baby birds, and fair play to the RSPB, they got their SEO on point because they were ranked number one, and it was an article saying do not take the baby bird home with you, put it back where you found it, it will be fine. So I was like, ah, okay, good SEO, but you've ruined my dreams of having a baby. I think it was a sparrow, maybe. So that was the most exciting thing that happened to me. And good SEO saved a bird from a life in a shoebox in my house.
A shoebox.
What else is going to keep it in? I don't have an aviary ready to go.
Just have it flying about.
Oh, yeah.
He probably thinks
you're
his mom.
I'm sure you can
house
train a sparrow, can't you? Yeah, that'll be absolutely fine.
Sit.
Pecking on the window and wants to go out for a wee. Okay, there you go.
What would you have called it?
Steve the Sparrow.
Oh, that's so rubbish.
Not what you've called it.
Something crazy, like Malvolio. Like, just something mad.
Right, okay. Shall we get on to introduce our guest?
I think we should. So, today's guest, it's super, super exciting because he is one of the most... I don't know how to say it. He knows a lot of words and he's very, very clever. He'll probably be able to think of a word for how I'll just explain that a lot better. But welcome, Mr. Jordan Adams.
Hi, thank you for having me. I mean, the word you were looking for was articulate, but now I've pointed it out. How bad of an impression am I making immediately
not
correcting someone's vocabulary? Like, I mean, it's like 90% of my job, but like...
I didn't like to say anything, but in like the pre-warm-up chat to this, you used the word and I just nodded and smiled and like, I don't know what that means.
I mean, you know, it's an education piece, hanging out with me. You know, there you go.
I feel like we are going to learn lots today, Jordan.
Definitely.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, what role you do at Click Through, and tell us about what you're going to talk through on this podcast.
So I am a content specialist here at Click Through. So I am responsible for devising and delivering a variety of on-site content for a range of clients. It includes like blogs, infographics, list features, and more. And innovating there. Also liaise with wider teams in the agency, so social and PPC, to provide copy support where it's required. So basically, I use my sort of gigantic word nerdery, just. As like they put the word signal up, like the bat signal, and I just go and just apply copy where needed. But today, so I'm sort of gate crashing the part. Is that a gate crashing? I was invited. Can you gate crash if you're invited? I don't know. So I'm gate crashing this episode of the podcast to discuss content and marketing activity during Pride Month. So it's a topic that's hugely important to me and has formed the basis of many of my conversations with my friends and family of late. As obviously it's, you know, in the midst that we're in the heat of Pride Month, so it's a case of it's everywhere you turn at the moment, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, and that's what we're going to discuss a little today. So, you know, in the spirit of awareness and raising awareness of how to do it right, how to do it well, and how to do it with sensitivity. As a bit of a disclaimer, I am going to use the term queer repeatedly because that's in the spirit of reclamation. Like, I use that word to describe myself. I'm bisexual. And I'm aware for some people, it's a term they dislike using. It's been used in a pejorative sense. I've had it hurled at me in a pejorative sense many, many times. So I'll also use that interchangeably with LGBTQ+. So, and as I said earlier, I'm bisexual personally. And so these insights are through my lens specifically. I don't claim to speak for, you know, like the wider community. I can, these are my observations through my lens. So I can only speak for myself. And I hope they share some insight.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on, sharing your personal experiences. Obviously, it's a hugely important topic to talk about. I think it's probably one I could do with the education that you're about to provide us. So yeah, I really appreciate you coming on. Before we get on to the hugely important topic of Pride, we always chat to our guests a little bit to find out a little bit more about them. So if digital marketing no longer existed as a career, what would you do?
This is going to be a cheaper answer because obviously outside of marketing, I also function as a writer, as a creative writer, writing primarily comic books these days. So I imagine I would continue doing that. But if I could completely reinvent, I don't know why Skywriter popped into my head. it's still words. So I still get to use my skill, but I also get to fly. And I feel that, you know, that would satisfy me.
Could you imagine how hard skywriting would be with your vocabulary? It'd be all right for me and Liv because we only know like 3 or 4 letter words. For you, you'd be up there for like a half a day trying to write something just incredibly beautifully written. But yeah,
Go on.
I think you'd be ill by the end of it with all the loops and the ups and downs and whatever you'd have to do.
Give yourself vertigo trying to spell recalcitrant.
Recalcitrant, what's that?
It's the word of the day. It's been on the board in the office for some time, Liv.
Can I guess what it means? Because I haven't read it, because I barely can read. Does it mean something to do with milk? Because of calce?
No, it's not milk. It's Chris, do you want to stab?
I wouldn't even have the first clue where to start, to be honest.
It is to be willfully disobedient.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I never got that.
Yeah, no, we could have been here for hours before I got anywhere near.
I don't know why I went for that word. It's just because it's been in my eye line when I've been in the office, so it's burned into the temporal lobe now. But yeah, Skywriter, in answer to the original question.
So good luck skywriting, recalcitrant. Now, obviously, this podcast is all about Pride Month, and we can't just presume that everyone will be as clued up as you are, Jordan. So tell us a little bit about what is Pride Month and why is it necessary?
So sort of in a nutshell, Pride's like a month-long celebration of the LGBTQ plus community. So it seeks to show solidarity, raise awareness of key issues and amplify queer voices as part of sort of a wider push for inclusivity. So like very much its roots are in social justice. So, you know, while it does have like sort of a carnival atmosphere, but it's carnival with purpose. You know what I mean? It's very much a case of it's amplifying those voices, and it's effectively, like I say, a great big push for inclusivity and, yeah.
Love it. What do you think Pride Month is for businesses? Because I feel like naturally, like a lot of businesses would want to display their support for like LGBTQ plus community and place themselves like as an ally. So like in June, lots of companies do sort of like a crazy pride campaigns and sort of like put themselves out there as this sort of like ally for the community. But do you think, sorry, this is like a very long-winded question, do you think that it isn't as necessarily as a positive act as it comes across, if that makes sense?
It does, yeah. And I think it's sort of, you've hit up on like a key point, because people tend to end up sort of inadvertently and sometimes deliberately getting involved in rainbow washing. So that's sort of the notion of sort of hijacking the signal. So an example would be a company just changing their logo, their avatar, to just a pride flag for the month. And that's the bare minimum. And they sort of give themselves an odd pat on the back and say, hey, we did pride. We participated. Mm. And it's just, so rainbow washing, it's sort of, it lacks substance. It's it hijacks the message and sort of distracts from the purpose. As I said earlier, like Pride is very much about inclusivity, and it is a protest movement. It does have roots in that, and I think when brands just do that bare minimum of making things rainbow for a month, it sort of shows a lack of understanding, and it piggybacks a signal that's not really intended for that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know, obviously people want to participate, but it's almost like I said to a friend the other day, like, this ain't Christmas. This isn't a case of everyone just has a free-for-all. Like, there's people's emotions are at the centre of this one in more ways than you could possibly imagine. Like, it's quite loaded. So, yeah, the last thing, it's difficult when you see it, when people just sort of check in for the 1 month and then vanish. But, yeah.
Yeah, that token effort. I just struggle to believe this. Did a little bit of research for this podcast, and there's a lady out there on Twitter who highlights all the companies that changed their logo to a rainbow, but have then, these are mainly companies in the US to be fair, but then support like senators that are pushing for like anti-gay rights and all that sort of stuff. And I just think that's the worst, right? If that's what you're going to do as a company,
yeah.
How dare you put a rainbow flag up for Pride? It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I think you happened across the same article that I did too while I was doing some additional research, and it's account and they retweet it, and you see, as you say, people are, hey, we're here for Pride, we're allies. It's sort of this false allyhood, and like I say, they're lining the pockets of like gay conversion senators, and I mean it's much more of a problem in the US where lobbying is a factor, but like, yeah, it's infuriating because it's so, again, speaking from personal experience, it can be so difficult to just, you know, exist in the LGBTQ plus community. Like, you get it's not an easy ride. There is still a lot of derision just on a day-to-day basis. So to see companies sort of say just interjecting that without offering anything, without offering to help, without offering to support, like it's so frustrating.
So how else can brands and businesses have a positive impact during Pride Month, do you think?
I think it's positive impact as a verb. You know, it's in the action. It's very much a case of, so like, don't tell us what you're doing for the LGBTQ community. Show us, like, be accountable. It's like, add value to the conversation. So, you know, use your platform to support and amplify the queer community. Like, for example, like, I'm on this podcast today, and that's an example of this, of positive impact as a verb, because you know, we're using the platform, the agency, to allow me to discuss something. And as an LGBTQ plus person, I have a platform that I ordinarily wouldn't have to hopefully educate and, you know, discuss a vital issue. So that's completely different to if we just say change the click-through colours to rainbow from months ago. There we go. Job done.
Yeah. Tick that box. Yeah.
Exactly that. Like you're trying to avoid box ticking. It's asking yourself, for example, before you sit down to write a piece of content, it's very tempting to just like hammer it. Oh, we need content for Pride Month because it's Pride Month. And as I said earlier, like, you know, it's not the same as Christmas. And I'm not denigrating Christmas. Christmas is great. But I don't know. I've not got an issue with Christmas. But it's very much a case of like, ask yourself before you sit down to like, whether that's creating a single piece of content or like a wider campaign, what's the purpose? What am I trying to add to the conversation? What of value, what of substance can I offer here?
Do you have any like top tips? I know this is sort of like this has just popped into my head. Do you have any top tips for a business that's just like, whether they've stood with, is it an allyhood or an allyship? I don't know how you'd present it, but if they've stood as an ally for you know, LGBTQ plus and like Pride Month, but they haven't communicated that sort of like through social media and things like that, how would you approach that in the first instance? Because obviously you can imagine if someone's just going like, oh yeah, and happy Pride Month everyone, first time saying it, you don't want them to look like they are rainbow washing, but they might actually just have not said anything before.
I think it's an interesting point, isn't it? Because like the first time you sort of, if maybe you haven't ventured into like Pride content before, your first foray into it is always going to seem somewhat tokenistic because it's not something you've been doing for, which I suppose to the wider point speaks to why you should be continually like contributing to the conversation around Pride. But it's like, I think you should be accountable. Like there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, this isn't something we've had the opportunity to do before, and let the queer person speak for themselves. Do you know what I mean? Let them tell their story and you use your platform. There's one that I was going to mention a little later, but it's Shu have a campaign going at the moment that I spotted when I was out shopping. Yeah, the Shu store. And they have, their focus is very much on LGBTQ people with disabilities, because like that's something that is often overlooked. So they sort of turn the microphone over to employees at different levels of the business and allow them to tell their stories.
Mm.
And seeing someone with like they them pronouns in the window of a major store that you can sit, like a major high street store, is enormous in terms of like, say, amplifying that signal and destigmatizing. So yeah, I would say to live to your earlier question that I've answered in probably the longest answer that I've been given to a simple question. It's be accountable. If you haven't had a chance, if it's something you haven't ventured into before, I, and this is speaking for me personally, will always forgive a first attempt where a company says, hey, but tell us how we could do it better, than just ignoring it altogether. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. But sort of like alongside that, do you think that it's important that they... I don't want to say that they've got a clear reason, because I feel like any reason it should be just to support sort of like what's, you know, what's happening. But do you think that they should have sort of like something that's happening within their business that they can sort of like promote alongside? I don't want to say promote because that makes it sound like it's
an event or something.
But do you think that they should like have something to sort of like partner with it, so it doesn't look like it's like a fake Happy Pride Month?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, ideally, yeah, there'd be something too. And I suppose the word promote does work, because you're promoting the people, you promote the community. And it's like, ideally, yeah, there should be something internally in a business that is championing the LGBTQ plus community, because, and that obviously gives you something to shout about. But you could also do something similar to what we're doing right now. It's use it as an education piece. If you have, you know, like, I mean, I would imagine every company has like queer members of staff, but obviously some people won't be out. For example, some people prefer to keep their information to themselves and keep it private. So it can be difficult for brands to always know that. So if you don't necessarily have anything specific to point toward and go, hey, look, this is what we've got, educate. Like we're talking about, you know, ostensibly how to approach Pride content like sensitively.
Yeah.
And you can do that. And, you know, I should point out that if you're empathetic and compassionate, you do your research. It's not like you don't, it's that thing of the, again, personal opinion alert, but like you don't need to be bisexual to write about bisexual people, you have to understand, you have to reach out and empathize and ask questions. Like, so you could certainly do education pieces, or even as a suggestion would be, look to the world that you would like to see. So if you want to write a piece of Pride content and you maybe don't have anyone to speak to within the agency or within the company, sorry, look to, well, what would I like to see? What world would we like to exist? Like, how can we offer something of substance using our platform?
Yeah. Do you think as well there's an element of sometimes, like, if you're posting every single day about Pride or about, like, the community, it's a little bit, not, I don't want to say too much, but do you think it sometimes can just sort of, like, take away the value that we've added by doing, like, a, like, I don't know how to say it without sounding like...
No, I know exactly what you're trying to say. It's, how do you not seem, like, too overzealous?
Yeah, yeah, and,
like,
exactly.
If you're posting, like, there's a social media post every single day or every, or, like, one every quarter of the day, and it just seems like you're... Then it can seem like, no matter how much substance you got, you are hijacking the signal, because, like, hey, look, it's Pride, and hey, look, we're still here, and we did X and Y and Z. So I think for that, my top tip would be, I don't know if I'm in a position to give top tips. Can I give top tips?
Yeah, give top tips.
Of course you can.
I'm an expert after all. my top tip would be, again, have something to say, be controlled. Like, if you have a, you know, break it up into segments. Like, don't just go, hey, it's Pride and X, and hey, it's Pride and Y, and hey, it's Pride and Z. Like, have a specific plan in place in mind in advance of how you're going to approach it and how you're going to sort of disseminate that information. Because as you say, if you think about sensitivity, overloading the signal can oddly end up being insensitive in and of itself, because you are by default taken away from other voices. Like, there's... Sorry, Chris, you look like you're gonna jump in.
I was, yeah. Do you think, in order to fully support Pride, do you not think it'd be better to post about this year round rather than jumping on it in June and then never talking about it again? Surely the real way to support is to do this year round rather than just in June.
Absolutely. This is audio, so no one could see me, like, furiously nodding as Chris was saying that. Like, it's very much goes, yeah, ideally it would be sort of don't stop because Pride does. Do you know what I mean? Like, in this, again, this, I would say this is a controversial opinion, but I suppose it isn't. It depends. So if this is a controversial opinion, do apologise. Again, my opinion. It would be almost pleasant to live in a world where Pride wasn't necessary.
Yeah, of course.
Because where it wasn't just a month.
Because it's just normalised, right? And it's just a case of, hey, I don't have to worry about, like, saying that I'm bisexual in the workplace because nobody bats an eyelid. Like, that would be tremendous. And to extrapolate from that, a case of consistently championing those voices through, you know, through content, through campaigns, would be much more beneficial to the community, because it would mean there's ongoing annual support rather than... Because I think Pride Month and people, like, having such a focus on it as a month, I think can inadvertently trivialise, because, like, in terms of, like, the memes that have surrounded, like, some of the community that I'm in online have all been, like, the day before, like, the end of May, it's just, like, this onslaught of rainbow flags coming out, like, I can't remember which character, it's like a Mad Max, I think it was. It was just the
coming
dude running away.
Yeah, coming
yeah, it's just
horizon.
All these Pride flags coming out, and like, oh my God, it's coming. And, you know, while it is important to do, I'm not saying don't do it for that reason, you would notice that a lot less if the support were consistent. And you'd also, people would tell on themselves to some extent, because if they weren't doing it, it would be much more obvious. You can skirt under the radar during June. You can get around it by saying very little or just checking in and, you know. So, yeah, ideally, year-round support. And I'm not saying there isn't year-round support, but it's sort of, it goes quiet, do you know what I mean? And it's like, it would be nice for that support to be. I mean, I understand, it's not like, again, I keep referencing Christmas, I do not know why. But, you know, we wouldn't like champion Christmas. But Christmas doesn't need to be championed. Everybody already loves Christmas. Christmas isn't under attack, do you know what I mean? Christmas doesn't struggle to exist. Maybe it does, I don't know. I don't know Christmas personally. I don't know why I personified Christmas. Sorry, I'm hijacking this.
A question, and forgive me if this comes across as ignorant, because I do not mean it to at all. When did, or do you know, when Pride Month became, like, a thing, and when it became sort of, like, it's not I don't want to say it's an event again, but it is like this month of
in the way that like Black Friday celebration. Black Friday exactly. came from nowhere, didn't it? Like Pride's probably exactly. existed for a while, but it's kind of become a big thing relatively recently, mm-hmm. hasn't it?
Yeah. It. Well, I mean, Pride originates. It's in June because of the Stonewall Uprising, which was 1969 New York. It was a standoff between LGBTQ plus people and basically the NYPD as they attempted to. They sort of stormed a bar and attempted to forcibly determine people's gender by way of physical examination. And then that led to people, I think it was like the straw that broke the camel's back, and people started to push back against it. And then so Pride is in June to commemorate that specifically. As to when it became assimilated into like the wider culture and how that like pertains to marketing, I couldn't like point to a direct
like exact date, time,
would certainly say it probably coincides with the rise of social media.
Yeah,
like I think that would be because that would be where people started to, and this is on the negative side of it, that would be where brands probably started to think, "Hey, there's an opportunity that's untapped here," and saw the opportunity before seeing the people. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so,
yeah, I mean, I'd like to count myself as an ally 100%, but I'm not like part of the community myself. But I don't want to say noticed, but I've only sort of seen Pride and like the celebration of Pride like for the past few years, and I feel like that's because a few of my friends have came out and are part of the community, so like they're obviously, I don't want to say excited because then that again makes it seem like an event, but they sort of like promote the fact that, oh, there's an event going on that's like celebrating Pride, let's go, blah blah blah. But that's only like obviously I'm still like, I don't want to sound fresh out of school, but like a lot of my friends came out after school, so it's only since I've been sort of like 18 that like I've started to see this, which is like what, 3 years? So I know it's been going on before that. I was just wondering sort of like if it has been, not in the last 3 years, but in the last like 5 to 10 years, that it's sort of like become this mass like celebration where it's sort of like a worldwide thing and everyone notes it. But anyway,
I think just to tap into your point there, it's perfectly fine to refer to it as like an event, as a celebration, because still at its core it is, do you know what I mean? It is like, mm-hmm. So I mentioned like it was sort of like carnival like earlier, and that does stand, like it's okay to promote social justice and inclusivity with flair. That's my whole vibe. That's like 90% of my being. But but as you say, I think the reason, because it's an interesting point as to why you would have noticed more in the past 10 years, and this is again just my opinion on it, I think it is because a much larger percentage of the younger generation, and I say younger generation, which immediately ages me, I think I just age 50 years using the phrase younger generation, but a higher percentage of younger people identify as queer or LGBTQ plus, and we're seeing it a lot more in the media. So people are discovering themselves much earlier. I can count on one hand the amount of pop culture that featured queer people when I was young, like to the point where when there was like a man-on-man kiss on TV, it was a point of national
debate. It was outrageous, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah, it absolutely was. And going back to when I was little, it was mocked. Like even on, mm-hmm. you know, like even on things that you don't think as being particularly edgy, like the only gay in the village. What show was that on? Was it Fast Show? I can't remember.
Little Britain.
That was it. Yeah, like that. That wasn't that long ago, was it? And it was, yeah. It was effectively totally mocking. Being a gay man.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sort of prevailed. It's like, I always watch like old sitcoms before going to bed because it just sort of, it soothes me until like those queer jokes come in, because it was such an easy low hanging fruit joke to make. Whereas now you've got shows like, for example, I don't know, Heartstopper. I haven't actually seen it yet. I'm saving incredible. It until I finish with Stranger Things, but I'm so eager to see that because it's the sort of thing you wish had existed when you were younger. And as I say, that's probably why it's being noticed more now. And again, that adds, so coming back to my wider, the underlying theme of all my points here, of adding substance to a conversation. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and we've obviously talked a little bit about people getting it wrong and what have you. You've talked about Shoe as a good example. Is there any other companies that you've seen have really got it right, doing a really good job of promoting or supporting Pride?
I'm going to stick oddly in footwear for this response. And Dr. Martens have a great campaign going on at the moment. They have it's been twofold for Dr. Martens. They've both amplified, using social media, they've amplified sort of queer creators and designers that they work with on a range of footwear. So they've amplified, you know, people who design different shoes or different bags or different, like, you know, apparel and whatever. And they've sort of shown those, like, you know, the people and promoted them for the wonderful, talented individuals that they are. But you've also got the fact that internally they've run campaigns. They've turned the microphone over to some extent, similar to what we're doing now. They've turned the microphone over to their queer employees and led them to tell their stories too. And I think that's, again, as you say, like, coming back to purpose and substance, that's a wonderful way to do it. I also think moving away from footwear, I don't know why I stuck on footwear, but Lego have a great one going. And it's not so much I sound like I'm denigrating Lego. The campaign itself is fine, but the fact that it's coming from Lego is the fantastic immense thing, because it's called I've noted it down what it's called. It's everyone is awesome. And it's, you know, a bunch of designs. And if the song's stuck in your head from the Lego movie,
everything is awesome.
There it is.
Everybody's cool. Nice.
That's the positive that I did today. But but yeah, and so there's that. But it's the fact that from such a household name, from a brand that has such a weighty platform, again, I talked earlier about destigmatization. That goes a long way to doing it, because there'll still be an old guard of people who were, it wasn't like that in my day, you kept it to yourself, but that was then and this is now, and we're moving forwards, and brands lending their voice to that is hugely important, because it shows that they are being selfless in that. It shows that they are willing, because you'll see it on Twitter, unfortunately. There was one recently with, I don't know if anyone saw this, it was Pizza Hut are being boycotted by anti-queer people. No. Because they did they've done a storybook for children, which is about a drag artist, to support Pride, and proceeds are going to, like, the Trevor Project, I believe. And people were vehemently tweeting about this and saying, like, well, we're going to boycott Pizza Hut because, you know, the whole go woke and go broke nonsense. And they were saying that, like, we're going to boycott them out of existence. I mean, people aren't going to start hating pizza.
That's not going to happen. Even still, like, you've got to have a look at, like, the small group of idiots that are sort of, like, starting stupid little hashtags against Pizza Hut. Like, grow up. Like,
yeah.
It's mind-boggling that someone could think that their opinion would, like, matter to anyone. Oh, I can't even.
I'd far more rather eat at Pizza Hut now, knowing that people with those sorts of attitudes aren't going to be frequenting the venue.
Exactly
right. And it's like lending that strength and showing that solidarity, that is literally, that's allyship in action, right? That's it. As, like I said earlier, I mentioned it as a verb. That's it done right and done well. Because not only did they do that, but then they didn't buckle either. Yeah. They sort of said, you can get pizza wherever you want, but it won't be this good. And they, you know, they flipped on his head and made it quite humorous. And I love them for it. And they're not even my favourite. But now, I've got a level of respect for the Hut that I did not have before.
I'm going to get a Pizza Hut tonight, Jordan, just to show my solidarity.
I think our listeners absolutely should do that. Like,
everyone go and get a Pizza Hut pizza, yeah. Absolutely.
There you go. That's my second top tip. Go and get a Pizza Hut pizza tonight.
I love how we're, like, forming top tips as we go along, and at the end of it, we could just do, like, a conclusion.
Just collate it into bullet points, yeah.
Yeah.
I like bullet point number two. I can't remember bullet point number one, but I'm definitely going to remember bullet point number two.
I don't care what offers you see on Domino's. I don't care what your local pizza place is doing. You go to the Hut.
Yeah.
I was going
to
say, you tell them Jordan sent you, but I'll just look at you.
The bird. Okay.
You're talking about. Okay, yeah. Sure. Of course you did. Do you want double or what? That's going
on. So do you think a token effort, changing your logo on Twitter for a month, is better than no effort at all? Or do you think people see through it?
That's a tough question to answer. So I'm glad you asked it, to be honest, because on one hand, this is a very sensitive one, and the answer could be incendiary. On one hand, the token effort is infuriating because, I said earlier, it does hijack the signal and it does distort the message. But if that initial tokenism were in service of actually starting to grow that effort, then... And you were accountable for it, of course. And you said, this is all we're doing. This is what we can do for now. but we're going to be better. We're going to strive to work harder. You know what I mean? Like, simply just leaving it as the, we changed our avatar. That's not acceptable. But if that's the first step to a wider push to support the community, then I think I could forgive it. Again, that's me speaking personally. No brand, no person is going to get it right the first time, nor 100% of the time. It's just not possible. It's not even possible within the queer community. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are so many like pitfalls. But if you were to say, this is what we've done for now, we are going to do better, and you lay out a promise and then you stick to it like a gospel, then I think I could let it go. But that's me personally.
Mm. Fair enough. So let's say a company goes all out, makes a huge effort with their content or have Pride Month campaigns, but they've had controversies in the past, like we saw that lady whose Twitter handle I shamefully can't remember to give her the credit she deserves. They've had controversies in the past surrounding treatment of the LGBTQ plus community, or don't actually demonstrate those values. Is that an issue, or do you think it's okay because it could be the start point? What do you think?
I think, again, it comes down to the accountability. I saw that there are a number of companies, I think they're P&G were one, who had said that they were aware things hadn't always been tremendous within their company. So they went ahead and they used their platform to investigate that. And that was almost that form. It's almost like content sounds trivial in that context, but that was what formed the basis of their content. Like, they went away and sort of instigated a number of internal procedures to examine themselves and as to why they weren't being a better ally, why they weren't being kinder to the community. And then they reflected upon that publicly. And that takes a degree of vulnerability that I think, again, me personally, I'm willing to sort of look at that and say, okay, so you are aware you have had a problematic past. You are making steps to address it. I think I'd still be skeptical because you'd want to see the sort of like show you work. You want to see it in action. But the truth of the matter is, you go back far enough and almost the bigger companies in particular, there is no way they will have a clean track record on this because of the generational changes. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you look at, we were talking earlier about how like LGBTQ plus people are referred to in pop culture and TV. That's going to be true for advertising right across the board. So I think it is very much a case of being aware, being accountable, and taking steps to improve it. And even if those steps are small, I will forgive a small step in the right direction more than I would doing nothing.
Yeah. Because it is like you say, it's, I don't want to say it's part of the past of like what, you know, of like pop, it's part of the past of pop culture, but it's also the past of business as well, isn't it? It's like, it's literally written in the, I don't want to say written in the stars, what is it, like carved in stone or something? I don't know. But basically, we, like, the whole, like, community now has just grown from that, haven't they? And just sort of, like, taken that in their stride and sort of, like, evolved from what once was. And now that's why things have changed. So, not, I don't want to say so quickly, but just sort of, like, everything's become a lot more progressive.
Mm-hmm.
But, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I think I cut you off there. I do apologise. But you made such a good point, and I wanted to jump in because I'm so eager to discuss. But it's like, as you say, it's sort of like skeletons in the closet. Everyone's going to have them because of the way society has changed. And you can either be a part of that wave of change now or get left behind.
Exactly. Like BBC and things like that, like they've had a lot of controversies in the past, haven't they? But I feel like now they promote programmes like, I don't know, like It's a Sin, which is one of my favourite programmes in the whole entire world. Is that on BBC?
That was Channel 4.
Was that on Channel 4? Okay, right, lol. Point not made, but Channel 4 then.
The
point stands. Like, I feel like so many shows and, I've revolved back to sort of like TV, but I feel like now because they're making that effort, it just shows like how far they've come from that. So it's, I don't want to say it's forgivable what they did before, but it was like a different time and a different...
Well, I mean, if you consider the BBC as a brand as well as a broadcaster, you look at last year's Strictly, where you had like two male competitors dancing together. And okay, so if you remove that from the framing of just the show and consider that as that's the BBC standing behind it and saying, we believe in this and we support this and we champion this. And again, yep, there were people who say, well, that's it, I'm not paying the license fee anymore. But the BBC stood by it and said, this is what we believe and our programming reflects it. So as a brand, the BBC sort of nailed their colours to the mast, so to speak, and said, we believe in this, we support this. And that will go some way to address shortcomings in the past, because it says that they are forward facing now, and they're looking ahead and they're thinking longitudinally.
Mm. Can you remember that? Oh, sorry.
I just find it mad. Just while we're on the Strictly subject, that some people got so angry about two men dancing together. Yeah. Like, is that the most important thing you've got to worry about in life? Because I find it crazy.
Must be lovely, hadn't it?
It must be lovely if that's your biggest concern. Yeah.
Well, I was just literally about to say on the same point. Can you remember that advert? I cannot remember who did it, but it was about people that had complained about sort of like Claudia Winkleman's fringe is too long, and then it was, can you remember it? And then there was like, I can't remember what it was, but I know that there was something at the end. It was about like a snog or something on like telly.
It was Channel 4, I think.
Was it again? Channel 4.
Just to say again, as a brand, not a broadcaster. Progressive, they've always championed, I would have said outsider voices, but I don't believe them to be outsider voices. But like that was, I remember the campaign talking about, they took all the criticisms from like, it's like the reading mean tweets thing, wasn't it? Like where they took them and recycled them and threw them back at people. They don't care. Think what you're going to think. That's your problem. That's your loss, not mine.
Exactly. And it basically took the mick out of people, didn't it? Like, laugh.
Oh, God,
If you've got to complain about that, like, grow up. Like, fabulous. Fabulous. But, so being inclusive is obviously an extremely important part of the LGBTQ+ community. But like, there was the creation of the Progress Pride flag, which included like additional chevrons to acknowledge various identities within people of colour. Is it important, do you think, that any marketing done by brands is also inclusive and showcases stories from like various backgrounds? I know that we have touched on that very slightly, but sort of like in more detail.
Absolutely. I think it's a case of, I think some people seem to think that their option is to choose between sort of LGBTQ+ representation and other forms of representation, whereas as we saw from like the shoe example, that's just not the case. Like, because it sort of perpetuates this stereotype, you can either be, you can be queer or you can be disabled, you can't be both. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's just not the case at all. So I think, and ditto for issues of ethnicity, I think it's very much a case of look outside and reflect the world that you see back, because there are examples of whitewashing in pride campaigns, which is frustrating, because again, that's not, if you go to a pride event, that's not what you're going to see.
It's not reality.
Absolutely not. You know what I mean? Like, and there are struggles internally for like different ethnicities, like of trans people who have different problems, and it's sort of the world comes at them from multiple angles, so we have to defend them from multiple angles. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very much a case of, you should factor, even in small doses. So say, for example, you've written a blog and you are sourcing some images for that blog. Look at them and ask yourself, did I just choose one type of person? I mean, okay, everyone in the images is queer, great, but are they all one, the same type of person, the same ethnicity and the same gender? Do you know what I mean? Like, no, like, move away from that and represent more broadly, and you'll connect with people, because people want to see themselves represented. And especially around this topic where it's so difficult to be represented. Like, I saw, there's a stat that I've got noted down here. There was the GLAAD, the Visibility Project. So they spotted at the Cannes Film Festival, it was 1.8% of ads featured LGBTQ+ people.
Mm.
Like, across the whole film festival. And if you consider that's like a 3-day festival, running adverts constantly.
And how do you get the balance right between representation and tokenism?
I think it's in the intent and the substance. I keep coming back to substance. So if anyone's getting frustrated hearing me say the word substance repeatedly, but like really that is the substance of the substance. It's very much a case of, if you are doing it right, you won't be accused of tokenism, because you will have done it right. Do you know what I mean? There's a right and wrong way to do it. And I think it's a case of, again, if you feel you have shortcomings, acknowledge them, steer into it, communicate with people. They will appreciate it. I would.
Mm. Okay, cool. And what about when there are concerns within a brand-specific industry? If an e-commerce business, for example, is portraying certain stereotypes, or if creative agencies are whitewashing their representation of LGBTQ plus people, what should brands do to ensure they get it right?
Again, I think it's like, I touched upon it earlier, but I think it's very much a case of looking around at the world you see and reflecting it back. But I think also invest yourself in the community, talk to people. Like, it's not like an us and them thing. It's not like this is the LGBTQ plus community and this is the cis straight community and never the twain shall meet. I don't know why I said twain, but go and research and educate yourself and, you know, listen to podcasts and read articles and truly immerse yourself in it, and you will find it is so much easier than perhaps you considered. So yeah, go out, educate yourself, connect, actually invest in the community in a genuine, demonstrable sense, and it won't be tokenistic, because you will understand that balance innately, because you will understand the community better.
Just going back to the point on sort of like, is it the GLAAD? Is it GLAAD?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. How important do you think that representation is in the media for LGBTQ plus people, but not in adverts for like Hollywood people? So like, obviously there was a lot of emphasis around Hollywood people of colour, but do you think that there needs to be more emphasis on people that are in the community and sort of like being within the industry? Because as an example, you know the film Love, Simon?
Yeah.
How the main character, I can't remember who the actor is, but he wasn't part of the community, was he? He was not like... He was an ally, and that's fantastic. But do you think that like things like that should be considered when casting? I don't know if that's sort of like a...
No, absolutely. I think that it's very much a case of queer roles for queer people. And yeah. Then you say representative back. I know that, for example, there's Sandman's coming out. I'm a comics nerd, so Sandman's coming up on Netflix soon. And they made the character of Desire. In the original series, the character of Desire is non-binary, but the terminology didn't exist. So when they were casting for the show, they ensured that they cast a non-binary person to fill that role, because, again, it signals to other people watching this and engaging with, I don't refer to like pop culture as content, but in this context it is, engage with it, that this is okay, you are okay, it champions people, and it reminds people that you can be yourself, and those barriers to entry are starting to just evaporate, and they won't be a thing. In 50 years, that'll be a thing in the past, that's my hope anyway. Possibly longer, hopefully sooner. But yeah, so seeing yourself represented on screen or in advertising or anywhere is vitally important. And forgive me for grandstanding on the point, but it saves lives. It helps people orient themselves in what can be a difficult, difficult time.
Mm. And do you think, like, I'm not 100% sure what Sandman is. Is it like Spider-Man Sandman?
It's loosely a superhero comic. It's an epic fantasy comic.
Okay, cool.
Series, but it's coming to Netflix.
Cool. Exciting. But with sort of like the non-binary character, so was it Desire?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it would also act as an education piece for either people that weren't 100% like in the know about sort of like the community or about being non-binary, about sort of like any sort of other subcategory within it? It helps them sort of like think, okay, so it's not, it is real, even though it's related to non-fiction or fiction.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
Like, I don't know. It's almost like, I feel like I was about to say nans need to see it.
Exactly.
It sounds like an odd thing to say.
That's
but
the exact
like
category of people that I was thinking about, like elder, while now I'm watching it and going, oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool.
Like there was a point where, because I grew up with my nan, and she used to be concerned at how I behaved and dressed. Now people are going to think that you're this. And then when she discovered, it took her seeing it in soaps, she's a big fan of you know, curry is the gold standard, just as a side note, top tip, curry above all others.
Top tip, eat at Pizza Hut, watch curry, nice.
Do the two together, I mean, like.
Yeah.
So she, and I'd always said like, hey, like this is how I feel, like I you know, I'm attracted to men and other people also. And she didn't really qualify this until she saw it in the soaps. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, it's a thing. It's not just you being weird. No, look, there are others. And then it was just every other guy I ever spoke to. It was just a case of, he's got a bit of money. He's good looking. Maybe you should. Maybe you should send. Maybe you should get in touch. Do you know what I mean? Like, so. But the point being, someone who, and she's from like an incredibly strict community. Like, so her seeing it represented, as you said, Liv, it qualifies it to some extent, and it educates people even who, like I said, aren't part of the community and don't feel that way and don't identify that way. It helps them understand it better. And I think we can do that with content from a marketing perspective too, because there are two things. This is the media studies nerd in me coming out, but there are two things that drive how society understands itself. One of them is popular culture, so film and TV, games and whatnot. The other is advertising and marketing, because the idea is both those things reflect society back at itself. And so if you are inclusive and strive for greater representation there, people will follow. You sort of have to be thought leaders in this area, I think, is the key point.
Yeah.
Cool. And we've obviously talked a lot about this from a marketing perspective, but let's look at it just for a minute from through the eyes of like the employer-employee relationship. How do you think employers can better support their LGBTQ plus employees, both throughout Pride but also year-round? Like, what are the things that they can do?
I think first and foremost, gigantic pay rises. So, you know, you don't get this opportunity very often, listeners, to, you know, have these conversations. I'm of course joking, but no, I think it's very much a case of finding ways to work with people that, you know, it can be difficult to be openly queer in workplaces, because you don't, you know, obviously I like to be believe the best in people and think everyone will be respectful and understanding, but you have to be mindful of the fact that that may not be the case. So it's always a case of reach out and provide support, but I think ask employees what kind of support they feel would be useful, what would be beneficial, what would help them feel most comfortable in that space, whether that's to do with language, for example. Like, there are, you know, I haven't experienced it personally, but like, I unfortunately, like, when, like, before, like, joining the, because I was a freelancer for so long, before joining the proper world of work, not to denigrate freelancers, of course, but people using just gay as a pejorative, like, so case in point, someone say, have you seen this? Oh my God, it's so gay. And you're like, don't do that. Don't say that. And that happens so much because it's, I'm not using the phrase gay specifically, but that kind of inadvertent slander happens so often. So it's a case of being aware of that. And I think educating like the wider staff on language, like, for example, you know, as I tend to refer to myself as person more often than not, but that's just something that's grown out of thinking about pronouns. And I refer to other people as like person, because I can't possibly know their story in advance. I don't know how people identify internally. So it's a case of employers can be mindful of that in the way they use language. I know it sounds simple, but for example, sending out a company-wide email, maybe refrain from saying, hey guys, because it's innocuous. You've never meant to offend, of course not. But it's like, for some people, saying hey guys will trigger something, it will flag something, and they will feel, oh, that, and it's uncomfortable. So I think, yeah, it's educating, employers can educate themselves and help educate like wider staff of the community, and that sort of trickles down and becomes part of the norm of a workplace environment and a workplace culture.
This is a bit of a big question, and feel free to answer it privately, not on the podcast. What's one thing Click Through can do to be better?
In terms of what Click Through could do to like support the community more, I think it's just a case of, like I said earlier, it's reach out and understand. I mean, things like this goes a long way, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm so appreciative of the platform to discuss these issues, and the fact that, like, I very much got to drive this. Like, I did the blog, which you should definitely go and read. It's on our blog right now. Go and read it. Do's and Do's of Pride content. I wrote it. It's brilliant. But, but it's, you know, it's again, educating. I mean, I'm sure there are things we can do, like little training sessions wouldn't go amiss, even just like informal ones, like have a chat. Like, I'm always happy to discuss these issues. As I said earlier, I can only speak through my lens, but I'm like sort of taking a lot of the community by osmosis by having like queer friends of like different like gender identities and sexualities. So, you know, sit and have open discussions, make it more of a normalized thing to do.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Well, this has been super informative, Jordan. Really, really grateful for you to come on and talk about your personal experiences as well.
Happy to do it.
I think we're pretty much coming to an end, aren't we? But even though we've tackled a really big topic today, no guest gets away from the trauma of Liv's random questions to wrap up on. So
I kind of prepared for these either. So I know they're coming, but I don't know what's coming.
Well, I feel really bad. Like, they're not bad, but like I feel bad for asking them now. We've had such like a deep conversation. Like I feel like I could just sort of like be like a happy little ball of like, oh, like wholesome. But I'm still gonna ask you. So
go for it.
I have two questions, but one of the questions is a two-parter because I'm just can't be simple. First question, it's because I know I just wanted to hear your answer. Like, what is your favourite word?
Oh my god, my favourite word. This is recalcitrant. No. This is going to be this really odd. You'd expect it to be something far better. My favourite word is actually dated now. My favourite word is telephone.
Telephone? How, do you know why?
I like the way it rolls.
Telephone.
Telephone. Ooh. But a runner-up would be intransigent.
Oh, which that's what I wanted.
It's synonymous with recalcitrant, but it's a slightly different inflection of it. So it's a case of someone being intransigent is, again, it's still willfully disobedient, but it's with purpose. Do you know what I mean? Like, so okay. Someone could be intransigent about, I'm not changing that.
A little bit stubborn.
Stubborn, but they're probably believing it. Being recalcitrant is stubbornness without.
Okay, cool. Got it. Okay.
But telephone, really. I just love the way it sounds, but it outs me as how old I am, because no one calls it telephone anymore.
Telephone, I love it. Okay. Christopher, what's your favourite word?
I mean, I don't really know. The first one that sprung to mind is a very simple word, because it can be
dog.
No, the word okay, because okay. If you're ever arguing with someone, one of the most powerful ways to annoy them is just say okay.
Mm-hmm.
You just try
that's
it.
That's a good one.
Just try it, because it really, really winds people up. So it's a really simple, very simple word, obviously. But, yeah, fantastic at winding people up if they're trying to argue with you. The minute the point, you just go, okay.
Try it. On the same sort of, like, argument line, my new favourite thing to do, like, if it's just sort of, like, not a full-on argument, like, if it's just sort of, like, a little nag, is to go, shh. By the way, listeners, I'm putting my index finger to my mouth and going, shh. Or like pretending I've got a little dial in my fingers and like turning down, but that's always a hit with the boyfriend. okay, my favourite word, by the way, is either bumblebee, because I just love it.
I feel like we've had this question before, you know, because I'm sure I've heard you say the word bumblebee before, and I can't remember why we've ever said it.
We probably have, but. Oh, God, I'm just not random anymore. Okay, I'll move on. Next question. This is the two-parter.
Okay.
You're at a karaoke bar. What's your karaoke song?
Purple Rain.
Oh, good
no
choice.
Hesitation. That's how much self-belief I've got. Purple okay. Rain, full 7-minute version. No messing around.
Full 7 minutes. Say, I was with you with Purple Rain, but full 7 minutes, Jordan, I don't know if I can support that. I'm sorry.
Strap in for some karaoke is all I'm saying. Next time we go out, that's how it okay. goes down.
Cool. Chris, karaoke song, and please don't say, oh, I haven't got one, because you've
again,
got to think, come on.
You've definitely asked me this before, but I think it was on a team huddle that I joined for the DPM
probably.
Team.
I know I haven't asked it on this podcast.
No, it wasn't on the podcast, but I'll give you the same answer. I think, see, I'm not quite as confident as Jordan, so I'm going to go for a relatively simple song to sing. Call Me Al, Paul Simon.
Yeah, nice. That's quite a long nice. One as well, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not
you
got
can
much.
Get an 11-minute version or something.
The short version.
Okay, cool. So Jordan's confident with the long version. So I have like a list of karaoke songs. Top of the list at the minute is anything by Anastasia.
Nice.
Just because I feel like I could smash that out. But yesterday I was in the car and Life is a Rollercoaster by Ronan Keating came on, and I was like, what an absolute smash hit. I want to see that. So maybe that, maybe anything by Anastasia, or it depends on the crowd, maybe a bit of Careless Whisper by George Michael. Oh. And then the second part of the question, very, very quickly, is what is the worst karaoke song that you can imagine? And but you've got to imagine it like someone that you know is really trying, and it's just not working. Like, you just like, oh darling, please stop. So, just as an example, Mine's 18 by Ed Sheeran. Because I just can't imagine someone going, they say, and then just, yeah.
I think.
What do you think?
I think Rain in Blood by Slayer.
I don't know that song. How does it go?
I'm not even going to attempt it. I don't even like thrash. It's a thrash metal song, and I'm not a thrash metal fan. But I imagine you clear a karaoke bar pretty quickly if you went with some Slayer.
Is thrash metal? What is thrash metal? Like, like that.
It's regular metal, but faster and more aggressive. Okay. And with more people windmilling their hair. It's not my jam. I'm a post-punk individual, but...
Cool.
There's a pretty popular song that people murder quite a lot on karaoke, which is Angels. By Robbie Williams, because no one can do the high bit, can they? Like, it starts off okay, and then it goes high, and everyone just...
And through it.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have a real attempt then.
Absolutely butcher it at that point, don't they?
Yeah, good call. Good call.
Cool. Well, I think that wraps us up, doesn't it? Thank you very much, Jordan, for coming on. It's been really educational. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Hopefully, you're going to leave this podcast understanding a little bit more about how to market during Pride Month, what is appreciated and not appreciated by the LGBTQ+ community. I've been worried about getting that wrong all podcast. And the trials that that community's faced. I certainly think I've learned something today. So again, thanks, Jordan. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to give us a follow or obviously a 5-star review on whichever platform you're listening on. Alternatively, you can get in touch with us via our website, clickthrough-marketing.com, or any of our social media platforms by searching for Click Through Marketing. Thanks, everyone. See you all next month.